Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 12, and then we will get started here in just a moment. If you take notes, the title of this sermon is called The Process of Purpose, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning about process, and how many of you know that process isn't always fun, and it's not always quick, hence the word process, but it's always necessary. And so anyway, that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. If you would just join me this morning as we pray and ask the Lord just to be with us. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. God, I thank you that, God, everything that you desire to do this morning, God, would be accomplished. I thank you for every soul in this place this morning, God, that you have a purpose, that you have something significant for them, God. And Lord, I pray that your word, God, would settle in their hearts, God, that they would have a tenacity to live out what your word has been deposited in their hearts, Lord. I thank you, God, this morning for the encouragement of your spirit leading and guiding their lives. And Lord, I thank you more than anything that you'd be made more famous today than you were yesterday. And if you believe that, say amen. All right, let's try real quick. Amen. All right, cool. I just want to make sure you're alive. I know it's summer weeks or weekends for church. Kind of can be whatever, but I believe we're a different breed. Amen. Come on, we're a different breed. We love the word of God. We anticipate his presence. So in verse 23, this is a story of Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's letting them know that he is going to be giving his life up. And he breaks it down into an analogy. I don't know why he needed the analogy. Maybe it was a really tough pill to swallow for them. But he gives them this analogy and letting them know that Jesus is finally going to be giving his life. And so he has this conversation with them. And this is where we pick up. And it's really interesting, some of the verbiage that Jesus uses, because I believe that the verbiage that Jesus uses is always intentional, that he always has a reason and a rhyme and a purpose for it. And it's not just words that he's saying because that's what sounds good. He has a purpose behind what he's saying. And so I want you to take over the next three or four verses, and I want you to really see what he's saying, because he's not speaking just to them. He's speaking to you and I. He's setting the tone for what it looks like to live our lives with purpose. And how many of you know that every one of you, this can relate to every one of you, because every one of you has a purpose. Every one of you were created on purpose, and God designed you in uniquely for that, right? The Bible says that before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, right? And so he knew that there was a purpose set for you. And really, the assignment of our lives is to discover why God created us, right? That's the fascinating thing, I believe, about Christianity is us always in pursuit of God. And as we begin to pursue God, God begins to unveil who we are in him, right? Because right now we live in this fallen world, and we have a lot of things that are attached to us as far as sin and negative thought processes. But how many of you know that when God redeemed us, that now we're trying to break off the old who we were, right? That old shell of who we are. And sometimes it's so easy to be tied to who we once were as this person outside of Christ. And that is the point of purpose, is what it does is it highlights who God is in your life, that he is doing something significant in your world, right? And so in verse 23, he picks up, and this is where he starts. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory." So what he emphasizes is he begins to talk about glory. He uses his death as this thought of glory. Right? I mean, I don't look at my life as, I believe that that's like doom, right? When I think about when I step into my grave, that's doom. But God considered it glory because he understood his purpose. And when you understand your purpose, when that's what you were created for, it becomes glory, right? So what I'm saying is this, is that your purpose should bring him glory, right? Because this is what Jesus says. He sets down and he says this. In verse 23, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory." Let me just say it another way. Now that the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his purpose. Okay, so if we separate that one, and then we go into verse 24, he says this, "I tell you the truth." And then he goes into an analogy or a story of what it looks like to live out your purpose. That when glory happens, this is the process in which glory looks like. right? Because we all want to be standing on a platform or getting our Dove Award or whatever it may be in the natural, right? And getting our glory, right? But understand, if you get your Dove Award or you get whatever award you're getting, that's all you get. And so many of us are in pursuit of things that are so temporal that really, truly never bring us any significance internally. And that's what we're going to hit on this morning. And so it goes on, it says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, everybody say dies. All right, don't tune me out. I know that's a tough word to swallow, right? Dies, it remains alone. So say remains alone. So you can stay alive and have nothing, or you can die and actually have something to gain. So he breaks this down, and then he goes on and it says, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone, but its death will produce many new kernels. Say new kernels, right? I know it's kind of weird because we're talking agriculture, and who in the last couple of weeks or months have planted seeds, right? Very few of us, right? Because we go to the grocery store to get what we want. Back in their day, that was their way of living. That was their livelihood. That was what they did. And so he's breaking this down so you can understand in his life, like how this whole thing works, because they could relate to it. And so he talks about death. He talks about life. But to get to life, you have to embrace death. Not a fun thing. But how many of you guys want to fulfill your purpose? So if you want to fulfill your purpose, then what God is trying to emphasize is that you have to embrace process. That there is something that you're going to have to endure in order to be able to live out the purpose that God called you into. And I think one thing we do is this: we think this about purpose. We think that once we get to a certain place and we feel like, okay, now we finally are doing something with our lives, that that's purpose. That is purpose, but that's not only purpose. Purpose is constant. I am constantly evolving into my purpose, right? This week, I was out cleaning my, I was out looking for some boards for some stuff that I needed to do, and I pulled this board. It was like 8 or 10 foot long, and I pulled it, and I slid it out, and when I did my eye, isn't it amazing how God created you that you can see something even though you're not even really looking at it, and you're like, radar, something's over there. I look over, and it's this, like, copperhead colored copperhead. And I'm like, okay, slow, move away. I run and get a shovel. Not today, Satan. No. Missed that one. Took a shovel, missed it. I'm looking around a little bit more, and I'm by these horseshoe, these horses that hold wood, and I look over and I see a tail, and I'm like, it moved over here. I'm like, oh my gosh, it was another one. Two of them. My point is this, is that what do snakes do? Because they're continually living, what do? They shed their old skin to grow into something new. And I want you to understand that that is what purpose is like, is that it's constantly you shedding something so that you can become bigger in your purpose, so that you can become more intentional in your purpose. That a lot of times we just think, oh, I'm just this. But you're not. As long as you're willing to embrace the process, you're always growing into another level of purpose. So what I want you to understand is this, is embracing the process unlocks your potential. That you have to be willing to embrace. Now, this is a key word, embrace. It's not like, I just have to deal with it. Embracing is a whole different attitude. It's a whole different mindset. That if you can embrace the process, it unlocks the potential that you didn't even know was in you. There are things right now locked up on the inside of each and every one of you this morning that is waiting to be unveiled. And it will not be unlocked until you go through the process to earn the key. Right? Like if there's a door and it's locked and you can only get the key as if you go through a certain training, then you get your key so you can open up the door. This is what God is doing. He says, unless the kernel goes into the soil and dies. So in other words, it's not good enough just to be hidden, right? Because we can all go hide for a little bit. No, the process is to be hidden and then to die. And that is process. Process is you willing to go through a place of death in your life with emotives, ambitions, desires, your will, right? Because we've all got will, we've all got desire, we've all got things that we want to accomplish in life, and it may be a better career, it may be whatever, but how many of you know that we can so easily run after something that cannot promote our purpose? And what God is wanting us to understand is that until you go into this place of process, you will never truly be able to fulfill the purpose that God has for you. See, an unplanted seed will never know its capabilities. There are, right now, there are seeds in you, and until you're willing to put it in the soil of God's life, into his presence, you will never see the capabilities that you have in your life. Right now, there are preachers in here. Right now, there are evangelists in here. Right now, there are business CEOs. Right now, there are people who have the ability to be a mom that other people will be inspired by. But there'll be fathers that will be able to leave a legacy for their people below them. There are all of these capabilities on the inside of you, but if you're not willing to embrace the process, you rob people around you of being able to experience what God is doing in you so that they can be inspired by what God is doing in you. They can believe God for what God wants to do in them. But it all happens by willing to take something that's not planted and put it in the ground. And everybody wants harvest, but nobody wants to put in the seed in the ground. Everybody wants to be the sower, but no one wants to be the seed. Right? But God is asking us, you've got to embrace the process of being a seed. Let the Holy Spirit be the sower, and he'll put you in the soil. And if you will endure the seed, you will see the potential that's on the inside of you. Look at somebody and say, you got potential. But you got to believe that. You've got to believe that the point of process is to purify you for your purpose. See, right now, if you're really honest, you have some wrong motives. You have some wrong ambitions. You have some fears. You have some reservations. You have some tendencies. You have some character flaws. You have some integrity issues. But see, what happens is when you go through the process, character begins to change and integrity begins to change and fear has to go and ambitions are removed and motives are purified. But see, what happens is this is the worst thing that could ever happen is you to have the charisma to get to a platform that your character cannot sustain you in. The worst thing that could happen is for me to get up here and to preach to you and then in 2 years from now I fall because my character can't sustain the growth of our church. See, what happens is if I'm willing to embrace the process, then I'm willing to be able to go through that. What that does is it gives me the key for the greater level of purpose that God has for me. And right now, God is wanting to purify you and me. Understand, he's wanting to purify me just as much as he is you. And some of us, we go back and we look back in our lives, and we say, man, that was painful to go there and to have to endure that again. I don't want to have to do that. But see, what has to happen is for the purpose in you to override the pain that you may have to go through. That is the point. What Jesus is trying to get at is that Jesus is saying, I'm going to have to die, but what it's going to produce through the purpose of it is worth what I'm going to endure. And what is in you right now that has to be buried and has to die and has to become subject to the Spirit is worth what God has for you. See, the process is you avoid, eliminate the opportunities that are awaiting you. Right now, there are opportunities waiting for you. It's like Jaylee right now. Jaylee's 3. She's our daughter. And right now, our ability to get her a vehicle, we could get her a vehicle right now, and it could be waiting for her. But it's like Jaylee, when you turn 4, I'm handing you the keys, and you get your car. But this is what we expect from God a lot of times. We ask God, why don't you give me this? Because God is saying, you haven't even gone through the process to understand what the brake is and what the gas is. So if I give you the keys to this car, you're going to push the brake when you're trying to get the gas, and you're going to push the gas when you're trying to get the brake, and you're going to wreck your life. You can't even get out of park because you don't know what the P means. You don't even know what N means, and you put it in N, and you're pushing on the gas and blaming God for why you're not going anywhere. But if you would just simply allow yourself to go through the process, God would anoint you and he would let you go through this thing so that you know gas is gas, brake is brake, P is park, D is drive, moving forward. But you have to go through the process. You've got to be at the maturity level for your purpose. That there are different levels right now that God is calling you into, and will you surrender to them? Will you embrace those things and not get an attitude with the Holy Spirit and get an attitude with people? I'm blaming God. You blame God for everything, and God is just trying to grow you. You're blaming God. I haven't done anything I've got to do. You're not doing it. You're not even using me. It's because you won't bury yourself in the soil of death to get what God has for you. And I know this is not fun to embrace, but I'll tell you what is more, is I look back at my life and every dark season in my life, I can embrace with joy now because of what I'm doing right now. The fact that I'm up here preaching to you is so much fulfillment, because now what I'm getting to do is to preach to you what I had to go through. And now what's gonna happen is in a year when you're willing to be put in the soil of God, and you're going to be able to be willing to endure the hardships of this, you're going to look back in a year, you're going to be fulfilling your purpose, saying, I thank God that I was willing to be planted in the soil of God. When nobody saw me and I couldn't brag about anything and I didn't know where I was going to go and I didn't know what I was going to be doing, but I thank God that he embraced me for who I was and what I was called to do. Come on, you have a purpose for this world. You see, glory doesn't always look like we think it does. Why do I know that? Because Jesus is calling death glory. I mean, that's not my version of glory, but that was his. I think that the more of you, the less there is of Christ. And the whole point of purpose is to get less of you and more of Christ. John 3:30 says it was John the Baptist, says, I must decrease so that the Christ in me can increase. And if you want your purpose to enlarge, then you have to say it together, die. Your will has to die. My will had to die. I remember coming out of high school and going into my career, and this is what I was going to do. I was going up the ladder, and I was doing different things, and I was like, yeah, this is where it is. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit arrested me and said, this is not what I have for you. And I could have said, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. And I'm not saying that even if you said no, then that God can't redeem you, because he's a redeemer of time. He's a redeemer of purpose. He created you for purpose, and he will use you at 70 like he would have used you at 17. But you've got to be willing to still get in the ground and get in the soil and become subject to the Spirit of God and what he's doing in your life. See, glory looks different when purpose is involved. See, the death of your will is the beginning of your purpose. One of the things that you are called to do as a person, as a believer, is your will to be surrendered to God. And as your will surrenders, your purpose floats to the surface. See, process, I believe, kills the unnecessary in our lives. Right now, you are carrying around, a little bit like last week's sermon, you are carrying around some things that are so unnecessary in your lives. And that process, what it does is it lets you know that you could live without it, because you have been. In this process, you're allowed to go in with just you and you alone. It's a real small door, and you have to squeeze yourself through it. You can't take anything with you. And in that process, what you realize is how much you can live without all the stuff you thought you had to have. Look, I'm not against stuff. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that God doesn't need your stuff for you to fulfill your purpose. And he wants you to know that. But what happens is that the process kills the unnecessary so that he can bring in the necessary. Because there are things that you need in your life to fulfill your purpose. Right now, there are certain qualities that you need in your life to be able to fulfill and carry out the will of God for your life. You might need wisdom in an area because of the role that he's putting you in. You might need character, like we talked about earlier. You might need a certain level of something in your life that, unless you are willing to go through the process, you miss out on the whole point of it. So I've got this illustration for you. I want to share with you for a moment. Melissa, if you'd come up. Come on up, Melissa. So how many of you guys know what this is? Not a raw, it's not a, not a trick question. What is it, everybody? Banana, can you hold that for me? So, see, what a plantain. It could be, but it's not. What's the purpose of this? To be consumed, to be eaten, to be put in different foods, to be whatever it may be. You could do whatever you want with it, but it's supposed to be consumed, right? And if you'll hold this mic for me just while I can talk, so I can so what happens with this banana, right? In order to allow it to be consumed, it must first be stripped, right? And see, this is why we don't like process, because what it does is it makes us feel naked and vulnerable, and it makes us feel subject to something else. But what happens is what it does is it sets up its purpose. Without me peeling this off, I can't enjoy the purpose. And this is what God is doing in a lot of our lives, is he's peeling and he's stripping away things that are in our lives that are unnecessary so that we can consume our purpose, right? And see, I think that a lot of times what we do is we go straight to purpose. We just try to skip process and we just try to go straight to purpose. And this is what this looks like. Melissa, would you do me an illustration and show me what going straight from without process to purpose, so we don't get to peel it for you because you just want your purpose so bad. So you just go ahead and enjoy that. Come on, somebody. Tell me, how is that? Peel and all. You can keep that hey, you get a 7 Brew card. God bless you for that. But you see, this is what our purpose looks like a lot of times. We are so against having to go through the process, and Jesus will let you take a bite out of your purpose and without going through the process, and then you will be mad, and then you will be angry at him because you just tried to skip the process and let the Holy Spirit peel back what needed to be peeled back so that you could enjoy your purpose. God has called you to enjoy the thing that he created you for. And sometimes we are so quick to try to skip through the process, go straight to purpose. And we miss out on the whole point. We miss out on the story. Let me just say this, that I have learned more about who Jesus is in the process than in the purpose. I am learning right now, as God takes me through process, more about who he is, the character, the personality, the characteristics of who he is, in the process than in the purpose. In fact, the whole reason of me being able to use my purpose is because of what God showed me in the process about him. And so that's the tragedy. So many of us are trying to live our purpose without even knowing who he is. And you can't truly fulfill what God has for your life if you don't know who he is. So God takes you on this journey of knowing him and discovering him so that when you get to this place of purpose that you can tell others about him, so that you can brag and you can give glory to him. I think that's why Jesus used this. He says, I'm going to begin to show you my glory, that I'm coming to this place where this is what it looks like for me to give my life. In verse 24, it says this, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone, but its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. It's interesting how it changes from seed to lives, because I believe that's the power of seed. That's the power of when you embrace something. And this is what I want to leave you, is this, is that process is the permission for more purpose. If you want more purpose, then you have to embrace process, because process is what gives you the permission to step into another level of purpose. Unless it dies, see, notice what it says there. It says it dies alone, but its death will produce many more kernels. See, in the process, the seed realizes it's much more than a seed. See, as you go through this process, you realize that there's way more in your life that you have to offer the world than you realize. See, a seed doesn't understand its potential. If I had a bunch of seeds right now and I put it in the ground, it doesn't even know what it's going to become until it becomes what it becomes. And there are so many of you this morning that you don't even know what you have the capacity to become until you go through the process of being buried, of being set apart, of being covered up in obscurity, and no one knows you. And no one thinks that you have anything to offer them until that seed begins to die and it begins to germinate and it begins to come poking through the soil. And then somebody says, there's something there. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit sees there's something in you right now before there is anything in you. See, what you give access to reveals to Christ what he can release to you. What are you willing to give God right now? Because right now that process is maybe you handing over some things that you said in a million years you'd never hand over. I can't hand over my family. I can't hand over my job. I can't hand over my career. Maybe God isn't asking to take it away. He's just saying if you'll give it to him. So many times we think God's trying to strip us, and he's just saying, hey, how much of me do you I really have in you? How much do I really own of you? See, the permission you give produces the potential you become. What kind of permission are you willing to give the Holy Spirit? Right now, as you leave this service today, the Holy Spirit is going to come in and he's going to begin to speak to you. What are you willing to hand over to him? What are you willing to say, God, you can have this because I want to become what you want me to become? See, surrender is, at the end of the day, it's you submitting to the process. Surrender is you saying, okay, God, I'm submitting to this, and I'm trusting that whatever you're going to do in this moment or in this time or in this season, that it's more beneficial for me than I may realize. Because that's what a seed did, is it says the seed had to become subject to it. The seed could have refused. I don't want to be buried. I want to resist this. But it misses out on its potential. It misses out on its purpose. See, I believe that in this willingness to submit and to surrender to God, that what happens is it's much like a balloon. If I have this illustration, there's this, you know, balloons. I could have a pocket of balloons right now in my pocket, and you would not know because they're not inflated, right? So I could be walking around. I could have 10 balloons. I could have 50 balloons in my pockets right now, and you probably wouldn't know. But if I pull one out and blow air in it, you will know that I have a balloon. Because this is the point. I believe that in the process, that as you go through process, this is what God does, is God takes that balloon that has been hidden, and he takes it and he pulls it out, and he breathes the breath of God in it. And now what was once hidden and wasn't there for anything now becomes this balloon and now has this purpose to hold the air and the breath of God in it. And that's what God is wanting to do, is he's wanting to blow some air into your life and begin to expand your faith, expand your purpose, expand what God wants to do, expand your vision, expand what you are believing God for. But if you don't are willing, if you are unwilling to go through the process, he cannot breathe into your life and allow you to become what you're going to be able to become. See, what happens is in that balloon feels pressure. That balloon is stretched. That balloon feels like in that moment it's going to bust. But see, it has this thing called latex in it. It begins to give. And I believe that that's the power of whenever you allow the Holy Spirit to go to work at your life, that he puts this component in your life that you didn't think that you could stand the stretch. You didn't think you could handle what God was doing in you. And as you embrace it, he breathes. And you're like, okay, God, okay, okay. And he again, okay, okay, God, okay. Because understand, God created the balloon and he knows how big the balloon can get. He understands, I know what I can put in you. I know the pressure. I know how much I can fill into this balloon before it busts. And that's what you've got to understand, is that God is breathing, and as long as you become submitted to the process, he will blow you up until it's time for him to no longer blow, and then you will see the magnitude. I mean, have you ever seen those balloons are like this big, and they blow it up, and it's like this? I'm like, how did that happen? That's what happens with us, is that you think that you're so small, but when the breath of God breathes into you, you expand, and you become so much more significant than you ever thought you would become. See, I think that purpose is oftentimes looked at in a very wrong way. And what I want to share with you is that notice that it doesn't say that you will go from a little kernel to a really big kernel. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that you will go from being a mustard seed to a watermelon seed. Right? That's not what he shows you. He doesn't show you go from little to bigger. That's the wrong mindset of so many believers, that we think, God, if you use me, you'll just use me. You'll give me this huge platform and it'll be big. And that's what it's about. Guess what? You need more process. Because that's what's wrong with so many believers is they think that it's about little to big. But it's not about that. Look what he says. He says, I planted in the soil that dies, it remains alone, but its death will produce many kernels. So what happens? Purpose is not about little to big. It's about one to many. It's about me being able to, where I was once only influential to one, now I've become more influential to more people. I've been able to enlarge my ability to be influential because I've endured the pain and the process of purpose. And so now where I was only having the capacity to reach one or two, now I have this ability to reach many. Now people are being able to experience God in a different way because I've talked to one and I've shared my faith and I talked to another person, I shared my faith. And before you know it, four or five other people are hearing about what Jesus is doing in my life and he's getting the glory. See, this first process is about you getting glory. Little to big. I can't wait till I have this huge platform or I have this huge company or I have this. So is it about you or your purpose? See, this is why we need process, because God, if we don't endure the process, it becomes about what you become and what you obtain and what you get instead of what God wants to do through you. I've realized that the bigger our church gets and the more influence I've been given, that the more humble I have to become. Because in that, as I become humble, I become more dependent on the Holy Spirit rather than my gift or whatever God's calling me into. And so therefore, it makes me become more dependent on him to be able to do what God wants to do through my life. And so understand that purpose. The bigger you become in the sense of the more aware that you become of what God's doing in your life and the broader that he takes you, the more you realize, the more dependent you have to be on him so he can move you and he can make sure that what's happening is what he wants to do through your life. Because you can get at the place with your purpose where it's just like you just do it without even God. There's a lot of churches this morning that their gifts are being used right now, but their anointing isn't. And what happens to make, what makes you anointed as a person, I'm not talking about ministry, I'm talking about what makes you anointed as a business person, what makes you anointed as a husband or a wife, what makes you anointed as a parent, what makes you anointed as the teacher or the lawyer or the construction worker, what makes you anointed is your willingness to embrace the process. That in that, when it dies, you become subject to the Spirit and the Spirit leads and guides you. And this is what God is wanting to do in our lives. He's wanting to allow that little seed to be planted in the ground so that it can reach many. Verse 25, it says this, those who love their life in this world will lose it. But I thought that that's what it was all about. I thought it was all about getting what I wanted to get, the car that I wanted to drive, the house that I wanted to live in, the job that I wanted to obtain. But then he goes on and it says, those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. It's this paradigm shift. This is kingdom. See, kingdom is all about him. That first part is all about you. And that's the point of process, is to get you out of the picture. See, preserving your life is really what allows you to live with purpose. When you allow your life to be preserved for him, you allow your life to really become what it's called to become. What you love, based on that verse, what you love will define what you live for with purpose or pleasure. I mean, I know all of us are prone to pleasure. We all like to be able to pursue and to have things, and that's not what this is about. This is the point, is that do you love it at the point of willing to forsake your purpose? So many of us, we love so much in this life that we are literally sacrificing what God created us for. And at the end of the day, you're not going to stand before the Lord and he's going to ask you what your bank account looks like, how many friends you have following you in, what kind of car. You're not going to get to drive your car to heaven. You're not going to be able to show him a picture of your house because he doesn't care about any of that. What you're going to be able to do is show them the people that are following you because of your purpose. And for you, maybe your purpose is only three people. It was you reaching your husband and your two kids, and that was it. But I want us to be able to stand as a church before the Lord and him be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want him to stand before us and say, well done, selfish person. You cared so much about yourself that you forsaked your purpose. And the only way you're going to truly embrace the pain of process and the pressure of what that looks like as he breathes the purpose of God in you, the only thing that's going to allow you to endure that is to understand the significance of why he created you. That this purpose thing, this, I know we use this word in our church a lot. And my prayer is that it doesn't become something that you become numb to, but that you become challenged and inspired to fulfill. Because you're not going to be able to get to heaven and tell God that you didn't know it, because he's going to say, hey, you went to Reach Church. That's all they preached. You're going to have to be accountable for your purpose because you chose church. You chose to come here. It's like, dude, that was like 95% of his messages. Look, pleasure isn't ever going to fulfill you. I know it gives a temporal, immediate fix. But I promise you that there is nothing that will keep you in the game like purpose. There is nothing, you know, there's nothing that will sustain you and satisfy you like living out what God created you to do. Selfishness cares little about purpose. Selfishness is never lining up to say, hey, what do you got for me, Lord? Selfishness cares about itself. And that's why it says this. Those who love their life in this world lose it. Don't lose your life to stuff. Don't lose your life to trying to become something that everybody else is expecting you to become and become something different than God created you to become. I believe there are less people living out the call of God because of social media, because we live our lives comparing ourselves to everybody else, and we won't even get in the game. We won't even allow God to plant the seed because we're already comparing ourselves to those people that we see. We say, I can't measure up to that. God didn't call you to measure up to them. God has something unique for you, and you've got to be willing to embrace the process to discover it. As I close, you would stand as we close. I believe that the posture you take in the process will be what is produced out of you. Because I believe that there is forced submission and there is surrendered submission. For me to simply fall to my knees because I understand that God has something significant for me is very different than God having to push me into submission. Because this is the deal. The Holy Spirit does not push. He does not force you into submission. If you want to fulfill your purpose, you're going to have to find the place of surrendered submission. And it's in this place that I say, God, I'm willing to get into this position. Because I trust you. Because I understand that you have something significant for me. And I believe it's in the posture that we take that determines the potential we walk out. See, living isn't about taking breaths. It's not about the memories you make. That's a lie. Because there's going to be a lot of people who've made a lot of amazing memories that spend their lives in hell. It's not about taking breaths. It's not about taking moments and the moments that take your breath away. Now, y'all are finally getting that. Good job. You guys are slow this morning. Thank you. But really, life isn't about the breaths you take, it's about the steps you take. Life, the thing that God is calling you to, is about the steps that you take in your purpose. Not the breaths you take just to exist. There's a great difference between the breaths you take to exist and the steps you take with purpose. The Bible says this, that the righteous man's steps are ordered. What does that mean? It means that they're put in a specific direction, and sometimes they go this direction, and then because I'm righteous, they're ordered, and now I'm called to go this direction, and now I'm called to go this direction. That is what God is calling us to, that purpose is not predictable. Purpose is this ability to trust God in the moment. That God, you have something for me. I don't know why you've got me walking down this path. Crazy story, and I'll close. I know I'm going over a little bit, but you know how I walked into my purpose? I mean, like, actually stepped into full-time ministry. I was supposed to be doing a shareholders. It's kind of funny, it's this week of shareholders. I was at a shareholders event, a marketing event that I was supposed to be in Bentonville, Arkansas. And because someone didn't show up, they called me and said, I need you to go to Fayetteville and go to that Walmart. And I went to that Walmart, and I had taken a break for lunch. And when I went in, I took a break for lunch, and I was coming back, headed back into the Walmart. And a pastor saw me, and he said, hey, what are you doing? I said, man, this is it. I said, I really feel called to ministry. And he says, let's have a meeting. And we had a meeting. And 6 months later, I became a youth pastor with that pastor. And my point is that had I been, you know what, I'm going to have an attitude. I'm not going to Fayetteville. That's my gas and blah, blah, blah. I could have got all bonquique on people. But this is the deal, is that because I was willing to submit to the process, God had a way bigger door for me to walk in. And I'm standing here today because of a lunch date 14 years ago. No, 16 years ago, 17 years ago, way too long ago. I'm telling my age now. Dear Jesus, I'm only 23. But here's the deal. You have a purpose. And God was wanting to take you through a process. And can you embrace that process? Can you endure what it looks like? Don't try to skip the process. We know what that looks like. God has something significant for you. I want to pray over you this morning as we close. If that's you and you say, I've been struggling with this whole purpose thing. I'm not real sure what it looks like. I've resisted even the process. I've pushed it away. I've resisted it. If that's you this morning, I want you just to stretch your hand to heaven real quick. I just want to see who you are. Thank you for those hands all over. Man, that's amazing. You know why I love that? Because you guys are searching. And you're going to find it. You're going to walk right into it, and you're going to look back in 2 years and be like, what the heck? I didn't even know it. So, Father, I thank you for every hand that was raised. God, you know everything that you have for each person. God, I thank you that those specifically that raised their hand, God, that you would anoint them, God. God, that you would give them a faith. God, I thank you that you would give them comfort and peace in the middle of the process. God, I thank you right now that you would allow them to have this strength, God, this comfort, this peace to endure wherever it is that you take them, God. We love you. We thank you, God, that you care so much about what we're created for. This morning, if you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to say yes to a God who loves you and designed you for something significant. Maybe you've prayed the prayer, but you've truly never given your life to him. You've never committed your soul and your spirit and your purpose to him. This morning, you say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you, if you would just slip your hand up real quick. I just want to pray with you. Father, we love you. We honor you. God, help us live out this process, God, as we walk into everything that you've called us to. In Jesus' name.